Are you feeling a call to create something new for your community? Perhaps you want to write a book, start a podcast, organize a coalition, or launch a new business or ministry. Regardless of what you are being called to create, Faithonomics Doers Creative can help you clarify your vision and equip you with the education, resources, and community you need to bring your bold idea for good to life. I invite you to learn more about Faithonomics Doers Creative and consider joining the waitlist for our April 2024 launch by visiting faithonomics.com/creative or by following the link in today's episode description. If you join the waitlist prior to April 1st, 2024, you will receive special early access to the platform and a priority discount code. Plus, one lucky waitlist member will receive a free annual membership, a $360 value. So what are you waiting for? The world needs your wild imagination. Let's embrace it together at faithonomics.com/creative. You are listening to the Faithonomics Podcast, a podcast that celebrates the journeys of faith-inspired leaders who are reimagining ministry and vocation in creative and innovative ways. From authors and activists to entrepreneurs and social impact leaders, here we elevate the lived experiences and wisdom of faith-inspired doers brave enough to embrace their wild imagination. I am your host, Race Lamb. Let's get inspired together. Welcome, friends. Today in the guest chair, we welcome Dr. Charlene Green and Dr. Allison Matthews, the co-founders of Second Shift Playbook, a Black and woman-owned social enterprise based in North Carolina, working to meet women at the intersection of work and home life, aka their second shift. During today's conversation, Charlene and Allison share about their entrepreneurial journeys, challenges they faced along the way, and what they are most hopeful for going forward. I was honored to have the opportunity to interview Allison and Charlene and hope you will glean as much wisdom as I did from this conversation. So without further ado, let's get to it. Allison, Charlene, welcome to the Faithonomics Podcast.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us.
I am so excited to be in conversation with both of you today. I don't think it's a surprise to anyone that I have a soft spot for interviewing creative entrepreneurs like yourself, especially entrepreneurs that come up with a concept that really is so creative and yet so practical, as you have done with Second Shift Playbook. And I'm also really excited to have the opportunity to interview you right as you are kind of leaning into Second Shift Playbook. I think the conversation is always more real and raw right at the start of something, as opposed to something that you've actively been kind of in business of doing for years or decades at this point. So I'm really excited to kind of be with you at this starting point. But before we dive into the business itself, I do want to begin by focusing on you two, the entrepreneurs. So both of you are doctors. Charlene, you are a board certified anesthesiologist and health equity policy advocate, and Allison, you are a sociologist and public health researcher who is passionate about social justice. Do you mind sharing a little bit about your journey into entrepreneurship and specifically how that journey led to the formation of Second Shift Playbook? And whoever wants to start, like, feel free to just jump in.
Well, okay, so this is Allison. I'll jump in. I would say that it's been a roundabout journey into entrepreneurship. You know, pursuing a PhD in sociology, everybody expects you to go into traditional tenure track faculty position. But I kind of always knew from the beginning of my PhD program that I wanted to do more than just be a teacher, be a professor. And in my postdoctoral work at UNC Chapel Hill, I got involved with the HIV cure clinical trials and started to get interested in the idea or the concept of social entrepreneurship or social enterprise, where you're creating companies that also have a social impact or social good, and got connected to the B Corp Foundation. B Corp Foundation is this kind of concept that any company that you create has a positive economic, environmental, and social impact. So it's a triple bottom line in addition to making money. So I think a good example is Ben and Jerry's and Patagonia are, and also Burt's Bees are all B Corp corporations. They're B Corp certified. So that was kind of my idea behind, you know, getting into entrepreneurship, was focusing on health equity, focusing on working with community to kind of harness those community-based ideas into tech solutions that solved health problems. So my first company was Community Expert Solutions. And then after Charlene answers her part of the question, then we could talk about how we actually came together to form Second Shift Playbook. So Charlene, I don't want to monopolize the conversation.
Yes. So I was going to say, oh, my journey has been so interesting as well. Of course, you know, I had mentioned that, you know, you had mentioned that, yes, I have been an anesthesiologist for the last 30 plus years, just recently retired. But I was always in basically a private practice, which that means that you're an entrepreneur in general as well. So I learned a lot of things from amazing partners about how to run a business with that aspect of life. But I also have been involved in some really interesting organizations, Old North State Medical Society, and being president of that organization, as well as, you know, the local medical societies here in my area. But the most important role that I think I had in the last couple of years is being a part of the North Carolina Society of Anesthesiologists, where I had been president and learned a lot of things about our state and how the public health system many times omits really taking care of immensely the vulnerable population and rural population in the 100 counties of North Carolina. So with that experience, just really understanding how to make policies and how to make things better for all citizens in North Carolina, I wanted to do something different and to be more impactful instead of just, you know, focusing on boards and things like that. And I guess of interest of, as well, in learning about business is that, you know, my husband and I do own a few massage envies in two different states that has allowed me to understand, you know, a lot of the business aspect of franchises and how to deal with people. My husband is the managing partner. He does an exceptional job with that. So I learn a lot from him with his MBA and in finances and things like that. But basically, you know, trying to make the world a better place to live, dealing with climate change, knowing that it is an existential threat to our existence, as well as knowing that in the last few decades, you know, we're just not getting any healthier. We're getting sicker. And with the life expectancy decreasing in this country and around the world in a short period of time since COVID, even before then, it's really, really, you know, a problem. And so all that and that passion has made me think about what Alice and I have started to do. And I'll let Allison start off about how we ended up collaborating and becoming partners, because it is so exciting.
Yeah, well, it's so funny. Allison, before I want to lift up two great points you two made before we kind of go into the journey of Second Shift Playbook. So, Allison, first you lifted up the terminology social entrepreneurship, and that's something that Faithonomics is really leaning into. We are a social enterprise ourselves. We are also kind of in the work of helping other people lean into social entrepreneurship. And I just want to thank you for naming that social enterprises do seek to do good and make money, right? Like a lot of folks believe that, oh, if I go into social entrepreneurship, I'm not going to make money in the end. There's not that profit goal at the end. And just kind of lifting up that you can do both and both is possible. So I want to thank Absolutely. You for just naming that terminology and lifting it up. And then Charlene, and I know Allison's backstory a little bit better as well. So really both of you, I also want to lift up how you knew you had entrepreneurial skills, regardless of not having your own MBA, not going to business school, not doing things like that. But you, through the work that your career has been based on in private practice and some of your volunteer work, like you knew you had the skills to step in and be an entrepreneur. And I love the confidence of that. And I hope that, you know, all of our listeners can take a moment to, you know, reflect on their own lives, reflect on the work that they're doing, whether it's in a church, whether it's within higher ed, whether it's in the nonprofit world, and recognize that they too are entrepreneurial in those spaces, and that those skills are transferable to bring their project to life, whatever it may be. So I just want to lift those up and say thank you for naming that and sharing your journey with us. So Allison, lead us to Second Shift Playbook. Like how did this idea come about?
Well, I kind of have to, so Charlene reached out to me. I have to give credit to Charlene because Charlene saw, we met in a roundabout way. We got connected by a mutual friend, and she wanted to start a company, and we didn't know what the company was going to be. We actually had another potential partner who was in the conversations, and he just didn't have the time really to commit to being a full partner in the company. So, I mean, you know, there's definitely an evolution of this company. The company is actually called Gold Rice Communications, and it's the name Gold Rice is a nod or an homage to the Black women who were enslaved and brought and braided rice in their hair during the transatlantic slave trade, and brought gold rice from the African coast to, and theoretically the Gold Coast, to the East Coast of the United States. And so it's an homage, and it's kind of unique to North and South Carolina, this gold rice. So we wanted to give an homage to that. And then as we start, so we knew initially we wanted it to focus on communications, promoting health equity, really changing policy and thinking about creating a new infrastructure for people who are marginalized in our communities. And then, so that was kind of the initial like thing that bonded us together, was that common interest and that common goal. And then as we started to, you know, brainstorm and think about, okay, what does that look like concretely as far as a brand and a product that we can sell? We had a retreat with some of Charlene's friends who are amazing and brilliant and had their own careers. And we started to brainstorm like, what are the needs specifically of women and professional women in this, in the, when we're thinking about health equity? And we talked about, you know, our own personal journeys. I can speak to my, for myself, that while I don't have children, I thought about, you know, caretaking for my parents or having to like caretake with my cousins. One of my cousins has autism, and I'm one of the primary caretakers for her and her brother, along with their father, who is my cousin. You know, thinking about, you know, just this, the expectations of coming home and taking care of the home while also working full-time jobs, working with my, you know, talking to my friends about the small children that they have and all of the things that they have to manage. And so we started to think about, and also my own experience with like relationship trauma. You know, I was in a kind of an abusive relationship for 7 years, and, you know, how that shaped my connection to the HIV field. So like all of those things, I think, and the conversation, the really vulnerable conversation we had in the retreat, led us to thinking about creating an online community that supported women in those journeys and all of those kind of the additional work that we have to endure in addition to our professional lives. And the reference to Second Shift is actually from a book by Arlie Hochschild, who is a sociologist, who talked about the second shift as this additional labor that women have to perform for their families in addition to their professional lives.
I love that. And oh, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah, I was just going to say that amazing narrative. And that's definitely, you know, how we got started. But I think, you know, when Alice and I talk, we're talking about like, how can we change the world? For instance, you know, we always, you know, talk about like, women many times are providing nurturing and food and dealing with challenges for their family many times more so than, you know, the men at times. And so how do we support them to make the world a better place? And you had mentioned the social entrepreneurship. And one of the things we always talk about is, you know, we think that many corporations have greed over humanity. How do we change that narrative and let people understand that we can take that back and make the world a little a better place? For instance, you know, many people don't understand that the richest three billionaires have a combined wealth more than 50% of 165 million Americans. 26 of the richest billionaires in the world have more combined wealth than the poorest 50% of the world population of 4 billion people. So those are the things that keep us going and make us stronger to be able to develop content, to let people understand and take knowledge for themselves. And I just want to mention that one of the amazing things that a lot that align us as well is that we both came from all-girl high schools. And I think that's important because we realized that, you know, I think we got imparted with wisdom and the ability to know that, you know, we can lead as women, because sometimes society at times, you know, at a younger age for a lot of women seem to think that they can't, you know, be entrepreneurs or they can't do this, can't do that. I think going to all girls high school, there was no doubt that we would be future leaders. So I just want to put that plug in. Not to say that all schools should be all girls high schools, but I think that provides that bond for us as well.
Definitely. And thank you for sharing some of your personal stories that led you to the formation of Second Shift Playbook, but also the story of Gold Rice Communications and, you know, how it over time got refined to what Second Shift Playbook is today. I think that is often another point among entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs, is that sometimes our first idea isn't the right idea, right? Or it may be the right idea for that moment, but a few years later, things have changed and the outlook has changed. And it's important to kind of have that ability to either pivot or redefine, reimagine, rebrand kind of your mission and your goals. And Charlene, I also appreciate you lifting up, you know, you have this larger vision of changing the world. And this is just the avenue that you are doing it through. That is, I don't know if you've ran across this, but here at Faithonomics, like our big goal, our big mission goal is to eradicate poverty in the city of Winston-Salem. Like that is the end goal that we're striving for. And yet we're doing it through how do we cultivate economic belonging through the leaders that we work with, right? So there's kind of this larger mission and then there's the practicality of the work that we're doing. So I really appreciate just having that background and that insight. So moving on, Second Shift Playbook, as you mentioned, Allison, it is a community of professional women supporting professional women. And I know one of the unique challenges for any new business venture is not just clarifying who your target audience is going to be and why. And I think you shared a little bit about how you got there, but also how do you continue to narrow your focus on that community as you think about programming and branding and marketing and kind of all the things that have to work in order for a business to continue. So as you think about what type of programming to offer, like how do you make sure you keep it narrowed and focused so that it truly is a group of professional women helping professional women thrive?
That's a great question. I think that it requires us to continually be in conversation with women in our network and to understand what their current challenges are. You know, this we have an event coming up, Galentine's Day, and of course it's, you know, it's fun, it's focused on Valentine's Day, but really the event will provide us with an opportunity to, you know, talk to women, have real conversations about mental health and talking about professionalism and their network and things like that. And it'll be an opportunity for us to do data collection to understand what are their pain points, what are the things that they are interested in and what would draw them in. And then so I think that's ongoing conversation, ongoing data collection to be able to narrow the content that we're offering and also to understand what their pain points are. So I think a great example is a woman who wants to come. She's reached out. She says, I want to come to Galentine's Day, but I have a one-year-old who is still in the very strong attachment phase. And if he leaves my side, he cries. And so I don't know if I can come because my husband is probably going to be out of town and I won't be able to find, care for that one for my child. And so Charlene and I, talked and we're like, let's offer childcare for this woman so that she can come. Because that's the point of Second Shift Playbook is to support women who have the second shift, who are navigating the second shift, right? And so I think that helps us narrow our focus is by really keeping our ear to the ground, being intentional about talking to women about what they're going through. I mean, professional women, I think, is a broad definition, but that could be PhD, MD, that could be an entrepreneur, that could be a nurse, right? It could be a host of different types of women. It's just working women. What are the issues that you're dealing with and how can we support you in that process?
And yes, excellent. And I was just going to say that, one of our passions is reaching to people and making their lives better. For instance, I think right now this generation that's coming up, people are feeling really lost. They feel they're feeling as though they don't know their place in the world or what it will be in the next generation. So there's a lot of mental stress going on. But more interestingly, it is well documented now that the lifestyle that will be in the future may not be as it was in the past. And that's it's causing some people to be really, really sad and disappointed. And you had mentioned that one of the things about your organization is that you're trying to cultivate economic stability and viability for, all populations. But I think we really have to be clear. That means not just giving a Thanksgiving turkey on Thanksgiving or giving Christmas presents to, kids, once a year. That means helping with policies that can make livable wages for people that they can provide a living for their family. In this country, there's still that less than $8 federal minimum wage that is around the country. That's not sustainable. Mm-hmm. But women actually need to have, policies that have sustained childcare, because sometimes half of a woman's check or a man's check, it goes to health, it goes to childcare. So we're really interested in how can we, work and give content to women and men, but mostly women, so that they can make their lives better and become future leaders that can make all of us better as a country and a global world and do those things.
Yes, Charlene, you can't see me right now, but I'm over here snapping you up. Like I agree with everything you're saying around how kind of creating that economic belonging is it's not just a single action. Like it's a holistic approach to how we think about money and community and policy and work and vocation and all of that. So appreciate you naming that. And Allison, I also appreciate the very kind and gentle way you reminded us all that kind of our customer surveys and our customer feedback is not a one-time event. It's something that we have to continue to do as our business is operating so that we can respond to what it is the folks need that we're trying to help. So I really appreciate you naming that. As we are on kind of this topic of what you offer and kind of how Second Shift Playbook provides resources and opportunities to its community. I noticed that you have a membership. You have membership levels, and I'm wondering if you might be able to share a little bit about what those membership levels are, and also a little bit about why you decided to go a membership route as opposed to just offering live events or just providing one-on-one coaching or consulting. I wonder if you could give us a little insight into that.
I'm noticing Charlene's being quiet, so I guess that means I need to jump in. The reason why we chose a membership option, I think the vision for membership is that people who join as members would get exclusive access to some of our network of professional women and access to one-on-one coaching. I think it's curating a community that, you know, it's not necessarily saying that people who don't pay the membership wouldn't have access to the community. It's just having an additional and more in-depth and more exclusive access to that community. And once you pay the membership, then you get discounts on certain offerings that we have. Like, we're offering workshops. We're going to be doing live virtual interviews with professional women who are hot, that would provide the people who are members access to being able to ask them questions in the moment, right? And I think that is us. Both Charlene and I have, I would say, a pretty extensive network of executives, top level women executives. And so we wanted to take advantage of that network to then, you know, offer it to our community, and saying that if you become a member, then that our network is your network, right? And that you can gain access to the insights, the relationships that we come with. I think, you know, offering the one-off kind of one-on-one coaching it also is a financial model that's, I think, a little less predictable. So mm-hmm. If we're thinking about it financially, as far as economic, you know, for the business model, I think having membership allows us to better predict, our income. But also, I think it's a lower threshold for people who may not be able to afford a $200 session, consulting session. But you could pay $30 and get access to us, on a monthly basis, rather than paying a $200 session. Or if you do want a $200 session, you could do that too. But we wanted it to be a lower barrier, lower access point for people. So that it wasn't like just, it can become inaccessible for people to have to pay large amounts for one-on-one consulting.
So, hey, this is Charlene. I had to really, wanted to really think clearly of and saying the right way that, while we're doing what we're doing. I really do think, just in my lived experiences, that in order to get to, I think, the population that needs to hear our message, because sometimes we're preaching to the choir, that people need to buy in to something before they really pay attention. A lot of times we get a lot of stuff free and you just skip and skim and you really don't read it. We really want people to read the content. We really want people to really take accountability for what they're doing and their actions with Second Shift Playbook, and be able to make some decisions for themselves that will make the life make their lives better, but make policies on their own. We're only two people, but if we bond together with many, many other people, we can have them read our information and then change the world themselves to get, or just collectively. The other thing is, and this is the reason why I paused for a second, is that the reason I think that is really important is that social media is so important now. You can have newspapers, you can have blogs, and things like that. But if you really are not relating to the way people are interacting now, such as TikTok, Instagram, and other types of, social media, then you're really not getting to the young people. I have a son that's 20. He's a D1 golfer at a school here in North Carolina. And, he talks to me a lot about like what the young people are really thinking about. And they're all on social media. And if you don't know how to speak their language, they're not listening, right? They do care about the next generation. They care about changing the world, but you have to meet them where they are. But the second reason why I think it's important for us to have a paid membership, as well as have people really pay attention to what we're talking about, is that lived experiences are so important. You know, you can talk about, like, you know, livable wages and childcare and universal pre-K, but people want to hear your story and how it relates to their story. And maybe they have some empathy that maybe changed the way they're doing things, or help with policies that maybe we may support or they may support and things like that. But that collective social media gathering of getting energy of causes, I think is going to be the most important part. And we do need that. To make the world a better place. But more importantly, too, I think Allison had mentioned something about finances. You know, we're very financially savvy, in a sense that, you know, we have a budget. We make sure that we stay within our budget. We also make sure that we know what our margins are. And you can't be frivolous on spending. And you have to be very, very specific on what your needs are, of what people need. So, and that is very important. I think what Allison also may have said, but I just want to also mention that we don't need investors or anything like that, because sometimes when you have angel investors and you have people that, you know, you trying to eventually build your company so you can sell it, you don't get the say so of your narrative and your lived experiences, because you have other people trying to tell you what your narrative should be. We know what our narrative it should be, and that is making the world a better place and dealing with greed over humanity. And so, you know, we are helping to fund this ourselves, in addition with being frugal with, you know, whatever we need to do to have a really successful business, knowing the margins. But we want to make sure that we're there for the audience and doing what they need, not what we need, but what they need.
Awesome. And let me just say, you already answered my next question, which was going to be about how you're funding this venture. So thank you for answering that. That's always a top question of our listeners, is like, how are you actually doing it? Do you have investors? Are you doing it yourself, et cetera? But going back to the membership bit for just a moment, I've noticed in a lot of my conversations, I think there's two different types of kind of membership subscriptions/communities. On one hand, there's the memberships that you pay for. You're getting, you know, tailorized content to whatever it may be. So think, for example, like YNAB or You Need a Budget. Like you're paying for a subscription, a membership, and it's giving you a product. And then on the other hand, and this is where I think Second Shift Playbook is falling into, there's the membership that puts you a part of a larger community. And I look at those membership models very differently than I look at the membership models that are offering you a product, because these community memberships, it feels less like a payment to me and more like an investment. Like, I want this community to thrive. I know that if this community thrives, I too will in turn thrive. And therefore, I am investing in its success. And I think that's the model that you're going on. And I think it's beautiful. So wish you the best of luck as you continue to lean into that and offer your events as well. So since you answered my next question about if you had investors or not, I'm going to move on to a question around self-care and work-life balance. So often as new entrepreneurs, it is easy to let our day become fully consumed with everything we want to get done for the business. So how are you, as founders of Second Shift Playbook, practicing the self-care and the work-life balance that your business itself is advocating for other professional women?
So I'll go first with this one. I think we, you know, have an agenda of what we need to do each day. We have discussed that. We have goals. I take extensive notes. Allison is amazing at social media and keeping notes about what we need to do. And we're always sending one of the show for like what we need to do on a daily basis. So that's amazing. But I think we both know from just our lived experiences with our corporate jobs, you have to take care of yourself. You know, we have to eat. I mean, that's basic, But and I know that speaking for myself, and I'll let Allison talk, you know, I went 29 years without actually, when I'm at work, ever finishing a meal, either that's breakfast or lunch or dinner, you know, during my whole day. I never finished a meal. I always ate my food cold. So now if I get up in the morning, I make sure that I sit, eat my food slowly, chew it up like they say you should chew it up. Mm-hmm. It took me 30 years to do that, to be honest with you, because you never were able to do that in residency and doing your real job. And so that's basic. I make sure I wash my face for like 2 or 3 minutes. In the past, you just wash it quickly. So I do all those hygiene things better now and take care of myself. And I notice a major difference. But most importantly, I take care of myself in a sense of talking more to myself and meditating more and really understanding how I need to each day be kind to someone else. And I always want to think about what other people need besides myself. So I will just share that.
Thank you.
I love that. I think also, you know, moving from working for someone else to working for yourself, it does, I think you're right in the sense that you could easily fall into the same pattern of like just work and not pay attention to yourself. But I think moving into this full-time entrepreneurship, I wanted to be very intentional about self-care because I have dealt with anxiety for probably the majority of my academic career, for sure. You know, just this constant dread and constant urge to like get things done and get it done all the time. You know, it's like, and feeling the pressure to do that. And that pressure then made me not want to work out or like not eat well, like Charlene, you know, talked about as well. And so, I'm actually home in Texas right now with my parents, and it's been nice to just take my time in the morning and get my coffee and, you know, and then maybe midday go out for a walk and walk for 3 miles and then come back in, you know, it's nice. And we just had a freeze, but it's typically nice and warm in Texas during the winter months. So I've been able to go outside and just like get vitamin D and get a walk in the middle of the day, which has been really, really nice. I think also in addition to meditation, I just bought this. I don't remember the name. It's called Apollo. It's a watch that doesn't actually tell time. It vibrates and it gives you sends sonic waves through your body and it helps you relax. And so I got that for Christmas. And it helps me when I feel it actually can detect my heart rate, and it will trigger to come on and vibrate to lower my heart rate and to calm me down. And I also wear it to help me go to sleep at night. And then it also automatically comes on in the morning, you know, to wake me up. So that's my alarm, is a vibration. And it's actually really, it's been wonderful. In addition to that, prayer, I think, is essential, right? You know, making sure that I give thanks for every day that I have on this earth, to work and to be with my family and to have people who love me in my life. So all of those things, I think, pour into myself as an entrepreneur.
And I was just going to also mention, I think one of the things that, you know, the reason why Alice and I are very allied for this mission is that I think we have the same, you know, experience with people. For instance, like one of the things that, you know, we posted on Second Shift Playbook was a boss has the title, a leader has the people. Mm-hmm. We know how to lead. Right. And we know how to lead very well. That's very hard to teach, but we're hoping to teach people how to do that better. I just was going to mention two amazing books that changed my life. One is Dying for a Paycheck by a Stanford Graduate School of Business professor, Jeffrey Pfeiffer. And it's an interesting book about how modern management harms employee health and company performance, and what can we do about it? It changed my life. So I was going to put a plug in for that. And the other book is Measure What Matters by John Doerr. This is the the investor that gave the first $12 million to Larry Page and Sergey Brin of Google. It had faith in them to start this amazing, you know, business with Google. But basically, I think you have to be around people that are competent and do the job well, or you will just go in circles with any business or in life. So I think Alice and I have figured out how we can be around really, really not always geniuses, but, you know, so we don't want to, you know, say anything negative about people or anything like that. But you have to be around people that know how to do their job and do it well. And that makes your life easier during the day and helps you be less stressed.
Thank you for those resources. I have two new books in my cart. So thank you, Charlene, for that. Allison, definitely going to have to check out that Apollo watch. I had heard of it, but I didn't know what the name of the brand was. So thank you for lifting that up. I'll definitely take a look at that. So here in a moment, we're going to move to our lightning round. But one kind of final larger question for you all. I think it is easy for us who are looking at the outside in. So we're out here, we're not in the day-to-day works of Second Shift Playbook, to kind of look at everything that you're doing and believe that you are not facing any struggles or any challenges in your journey. So I wonder if you might be willing to share with us up until today, what has been the biggest hurdle you've had to overcome or the biggest challenge that you've had to solve to get Second Shift Playbook to where it is today?
I can go first. I was just going to say that probably intentionally taking the time to eat well so I can have the sustainability energy to do anything I wanted to do. And I know that sounds simple, but I think taking the time to make sure that you decrease processed food in your life so that you can have more energy has helped me to focus on the business. And it's helped me to focus on my life in the sense that I wasn't able to do that during my corporate job as much. So that's just something basic.
Yeah, thank you.
I think if we, in addition to just like the self-care aspect of it, you know, we're just now getting off the ground. And it took us about a year, really, to get to this point. And so I would say our first big hurdle was really figuring out and honing in on our business idea and how we were going to make money. What was the model? What's the, you know, what's our focus and what's the brand and things like that. So we have so many interests and so many experiences that we were bringing to the table. So, you know, I think we were intentional about not moving. Not, you know, a lot of people, when they start a business, they want to just start right away and just like jump into something. But I think that I really appreciated us taking our time and really having deep conversations and just really trying to figure out, get to the point where it's something that we both were happy with before launching publicly. So we've actually been working on this business for a year before we launched publicly. And a lot of people want to just go right into making money right away. But we, you know, that was our big and first hurdle, was really trying to make sure that the business model was sound before we started pushing it publicly.
Yes, I know our listeners have heard me say this before, but take your time. I think that is such a big component of any type of venture creation, whether it is starting a podcast or launching a new business, launching a new ministry, whatever it may be, you are on no timeline but your own. And you also have to learn how to counter this kind of 24/7 capitalistic mindset where, If you don't launch it tomorrow, it's not going to work, right? You can wait until the next day to launch it, and it's going to be just fine, right? So I really appreciate you naming that, Allison. All right, so moving on to our lightning round. So you know how this works. Each of you are going to get three questions, and I'm going to alternate between both of you. Charlene, you'll go first. Allison, you'll go second. And I want you to just say the first thing that comes to mind when I ask you a question. So Charlene, we'll start with you. What is one non-negotiable part of your day?
Spending time with my children and my husband.
Awesome. All right, Allison, who is one non-famous faith leader currently inspiring you?
I have to say my pastor, Pastor Pam at St. Paul United Methodist Church in Winston-Salem. She shares her stories about, you know, former drug use, and just, she's just really real. She's inspiring to me.
Awesome. All right, Charlene, what is one way you practice Sabbath?
Well, my family and I will definitely try to make it to the early morning services at our church, Calvin Christian, and or try to watch the social media broadcast that they have every Sunday. So we try to get some spiritual wisdom from our pastor so that, you know, we're not just thinking about ourselves all week, but focusing on other people.
Yeah, thank you. All right, Allison, what is one piece of advice you'd give to other aspiring entrepreneurs?
You already have the expertise, the knowledge, and the passion needed to be successful. So believe and trust in that.
Love that. All right, Charlene, final question for you. What is one resource? I know you've already named a few, but what is one resource you found helpful in getting Second Shift Playbook operational?
I'm going to say the amazing, brilliant partner, Allison, and my husband, who, you know, has is a managing partner of some of the massage envies that we talked about, knowing what margins are and focusing on the bottom line of people, but making sure you have a budget. So they both are exceptional at that.
Yes, budgets are key. Great to shout out your business partner and your spouse in the process. Yes. So a wonderful answer there. And then, Allison, the big question for you, if folks want to connect with Second Shift Playbook, where should they go? What should they have on their radar? Where would you send them?
We would send them to secondshiftplaybook.com. So you can actually spell that with the number 2 ND. Shift Playbook, or you can spell out the word Second Shift Playbook. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn by typing in Second Shift Playbook.
Awesome. And I will be sure to include all of that information in the episode description. So if you are looking for a quick link to their website or to one of their social media platforms, just go to the episode description and you should be able to find that. All right, Allison, Charlene, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today and sharing more about the incredible work you're doing with Second Shift Playbook, as well as your personal journeys to this place. It's vulnerable to share with strangers, and I just really appreciate you being open and vulnerable with us today. But it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. If people want to support our upcoming event, we have an event called Galentine's Day at the Greensboro Country Club on February 3rd from 3 to 6 p.m. And they can go to the secondshiftplaybook.com website to purchase their tickets.
Awesome. And I will be sure to include that in the link below as well. And Charlene, did I hear you say something?
I just said awesome. It was a pleasure awesome. To be on the podcast with you. You are amazing.
Y'all are amazing. Y'all are my inspiration. So thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. I really do appreciate it. And if you are hearing this, thank you for listening and imagining with us new ways of doing ministry. You can connect with Faithonomics by visiting our website at www.faithonomics.com, where you can also learn more about our Doers Creative set to launch in April 2024. And of course, you can find us on all of your social favorite social media sites. Just search for Faithonomics. comics. And once again, my name is Race Lamb, your host, and you can also connect with me on your favorite social media platforms at Race Lamb. That's Race with a Y. And thank you again for listening to the podcast. Be sure to follow the show and drop us a review. It helps other faith-inspired doers just like yourself find the show. So friends, go in peace and with wild imagination. We'll see you next week.